Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
So we all have a job to do as we approach this week. We do. I take
hey,
it seriously.
Hey, how you doing, everybody? Hey.
Be that guy.
Hey.
I love being that guy.
You know what's great about
you meet somebody from out. Hey, where are you from? How are you getting everything you need? What can I help you
want
with?
Want me to play Jump Around on my phone for you? Hey.
We'd love to.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
This Sunday, July 14th, marks 25 years since this happened.
The hell is it? What's going on here? Okay, watch it, watch it!
Big Blue. The enormous crane that was used to hoist large portions of the Miller Park roof into place came crashing to the ground. It was around 5 p.m. on a Wednesday. Former WDTMJ traffic reporter Tom Carr was on the air at the time. So were you, Debbie Lozaga. Nope, Debbie, we can't hear you. No, I think she's doing her work. She's doing her work right now. So Tom Carr was in the air as well as being on the air. He was with his pilot. You remember back then, Tom Carr flew
in a plane, right?
In a plane,
traffic
to
plane.
Cover the interstate. He said he was near 894 when this took place.
And I heard the sheriff's dispatcher say, we have a report of a roof collapse at Miller Park. And you could tell the tenseness in her voice. And I looked to my left, and all you could see was smoke in the air where the stadium was. And so I told my partner, let's get back there. And we just throttled the airplane and got there as quickly as we could.
And he was immediately on the air.
But Tom, what do you got for us?
Actually, it's not a traffic report.
Oh, okay.
It's a Miller Park report. Part of the new roof has collapsed. The dust is now clearing. I'm just making my way around the stadium area right now. Looks like what possibly happened is a part that was hanging from the crane has dropped. It has dropped on top of the new...
And Tom told me it was one of those moments that he knew right when he saw it how bad it was.
You could tell right away because you could see the crane crumpled over the side of the stadium. You could see where the stadium had crumbled down at that point. People running around, and you just looked at it and you saw, this is not a good situation.
Debbie Lozaga also on the air at that time, immediately realizing the direness of the situation.
At first, I thought they were like bringing down that smokestack, that Falk's smokestack. That I'm like, oh wow, they're clearing that whole area because they were doing some renovations through that area and doing some building through the area. So I didn't think anything of it until the plume of smoke went over the freeway. I'm like, okay, this is bigger. So yeah, I picked up the phone, called in to the newsroom and said, hey guys, there's a thing. So yeah, it was kind of freaky.
What was fascinating about all of this is that everyone would sit and stare at that stadium just being built. That entire run. Remember that? When you'd be on the interstate, I remember driving with a guy and he'd be like, sorry, I keep getting distracted by that thing. Just because it was so big next to County and it was just this.
The juxtaposition of those two structures for as long as they were up together was phenomenal. Right.
ABC's Sherry Preston, who worked for WDTMJ Radio at the time, she was one of the first at the scene after it came down.
Sir, can you tell me exactly what happened?
Yeah, we had about 600 tons on the hook. We had been swinging it over. We'd been taking our time to put it in place. We were almost ready to go up there and put it together. And the lamps in the Big Blue crane just started snapping. I don't really know what happened to it. It just started leaning over and fell. It took another crane down with it. I watched three men die.
You watched three men die. What did you see?
Ma'am?
Sorry, what happened?
They were in the other crane in a basket. And the big crane fell on it, took them down.
Yeah, three iron workers killed. The most tragic part of this entire story, three people killed, iron workers, local eight members. The men were in an observation basket held up in the air by another crane. So they were hundreds of feet in the air in this basket watching as the Big Blue was doing its work. Big Blue came down and it just clipped that other crane.
Our hearts go out to the families and We pray for them, and we wish them nothing but the best, and sympathies with them.
Governor Tommy Thompson on WTMJ there. So strong wind gusts would be to blame. So they, I think what it ultimately ended up being is that they had, they knew that wind gusts were a little bit stronger that day, and the calculations that were made for Big Blue, but not necessarily for Big Blue holding this giant piece of roof in the air as well, and that ultimately was the issue.
I covered that trial, Eric. I was working in Green Bay when Big Blue collapsed, but was here for the trial and covered it. Remember, the weather was a key component. In fact, TMJ4 meteorologist John Milan was called to testify about the weather conditions for that day, as were other weather experts. Some of it was excruciating. I felt for the jury in there having to go through math. You had these folks explaining vectors and wind speeds and whatever, and they had to, these experts had to take the jury through the math so that they could make the point that they should have known and done these calculations and the wind would have been too strong for the load and all of that. But it was the crux of the case. You know, was it appropriate to do this lift given the weather conditions of the day?
Well, Mitsubishi would settle with the three widows ultimately in one of the cases. Now, you may recall that this happened during the All-Star break. It was July 14th. So the Brewers were off. They didn't play until 2 days later, Friday, against the Royals, a game that was at Milwaukee County Stadium.
This was not a good day to work, and a very tough day to work, folks. Take my word for it.
Bob Uecker, in my opinion, in one of his most remarkable broadcasts, addressed the tragedy throughout the game, but during the entire bottom half of the first inning.
It's even worse being out here than seeing it on television. I am utterly shocked. As I said, sitting here for the last couple of years and watching in amazement and so thrilled at what was taking place, and to come out here and see it in person, I think Jim said it earlier, this is not a good day to work.
So it was a 13-minute inning, and Uke made it a point to bring up the three iron workers specifically who were killed.
You have to really see it to believe it in person. And for those who lost their lives, Jerome Starr, Jeff Wisher, Bill DeGrave, never will anything replace that. And our deepest and heartfelt sympathies to their family.
You hear that in the background? You could hear the umpire, and you could hear, like,
because the game is going on.
And you could almost sounded like he was, it was therapeutic for him to just kind of download after 2 days of watching on television to show up there and to see it. You talked about how he would see those construction guys, iron workers, the men and women all the time. When he would pull into county, he would see him honk at him, wave at him, they'd holler at him.
Can you totally see that too?
Absolutely.
For all the folks working on the project. Hey, him being like, yeah.
And I didn't realize this. Uecker had been in that basket. They called it the man basket, or that's what it was called. So this observation basket, he went up in it at one point throughout the construction of Miller Park just to see it. You know, they brought him up in that basket.
Every day when I drove in, I said, I come in through the center field area. I saw those guys out there. I waved at them, hollered at them, beeped at them. They hollered back. And then having went in there with Frank Pusilaki and taking that ride that day, I'm glad I did. Now I'm so happy that I did now and know what they did up there and what they were doing.
So the opening of Miller Park would be delayed 1 year. Of course, the bigger tragedy, the loss of three lives that were taken. Uecker said their lives were taken from them. So on Sunday, again, 25 years on Sunday, Ironworkers Local 8 are going to hold a special ceremony at the memorial site. There's that statue that's right outside of the home plate entrance there of the three construction workers. So that's going to take place around 10:15. We have more information. So here's what we got online. So a little bit more information about what's taking place on Sunday. We also have video because inspectors just happened to be there that day taking video of the crane when it came down.
That's right. Otherwise, you might not have had that. But for maybe there was some, cameras from a further away place,
right.
We got that video because of that.
Mm-hmm. So we have that online, and we also put up the entire bottom half of the first inning of Uecker. And Jim Powell's in there a little bit too, but it's basically just Uecker calling this inning, but also just therapeutically talking about what he has seen, how he's feeling, how we were all kind of feeling at that moment. And we have that all online. So all you got to do is text the word crane and we'll send it to you. 855-616-1620. WDTMJ talk and text line. 855-616-1620. Here is how that inning ended. Him reiterating the names and remembering them.
One more time. Jerome Starr. Jeffrey Wisher. William DeGray. Families, relatives, for all of those, our thoughts here are with you.
CNN called it, quote, nothing less than Biden's hopes of a second term will be on the line. NBC and ABC called it make or break. Do you feel it was either one way or another?
You don't think that's a little over the top, though?
I thought it was a must-win, like a must-win scenario, if you put it in sports terms, for the president, talking about his news conference that was scheduled for and ultimately delivered Thursday night. First time in 8 months you'd seen the president in an unscripted format taking questions solo from reporters.
Yeah.
I thought it was a must-win for the president, and based on some of the analysis we're hearing, should have been better, at least for some of his supporters.
He took a wide range of questions, complicated issues, did fairly well in all of that, but I think nothing changes the bottom line, and that is that many Democrats think he just can't win in November, and there needs to be a change.
That's ABC's Jonathan Carl from Washington.
Because of the gaffes?
So let me play you a couple, and then you be the judge. This was, he started the game, if you want to stick with the sports analogy, he actually started this must-win game from behind. Because at an earlier event that was wrapping the NATO news conference, he's introducing President of Ukraine, Vladimir Zelensky, and he introduced him as President Putin.
And now I want to hand it over to the President of Ukraine, who has as much courage as he has determination. Ladies and gentlemen, President Putin. President Putin. He's a big President Putin.
He caught himself right away and then went up there and corrected himself. And then some of those NATO leaders gave him a bit of an out with and Zelensky gave him a little bit of an out. Like,
but again, a gaffe, right? And he didn't actually think Putin was standing next to him.
Yeah, let me give you the other one that everyone's talking about this morning. In a moment early in his news conference now, is in an exchange with reporters, asked about Vice President Harris. What if she were indeed the nominee? If it's not you, do you have confidence in her?
I wouldn't have picked Vice President Trump to be vice president, but I think she's not qualified to be president. So let's start there.
So, to your point, I think it's fair to say of anyone, there's a difference between a gaffe or a misspeak and not being mentally present.
Right.
I misspeak on this here program all the time. Like, I'll say someone's name wrong, or we go to a thing, you know, like that, and happens all the time,
and
to
we should,
everyone.
We should point out, former President Donald Trump has had some major misspeaks and gaffes in his day.
Let me address that as well, because we're talking about President Biden and his mental fitness to be in office, and not just us, but Democrats within the party
Democrats
are arguing
are
over it. That's the news story of the day.
Yes.
Every time we do that, a couple, two, three people text the show and say, well, President Trump once said, well, President Trump said, okay, that's not today's story. We'll have a whole week of President Trump next week, and he's going to say some crazy stuff, and we will play that on this show when he says it and when that's the story.
As we have in the past,
right,
as well.
So, I mean, and if you're in that camp, let's put it this way. Anytime former President Trump says something crazy, do you want us to also say, but remember, President Biden, he says silly stuff. Like, today's story is this conversation amongst Democrats as to whether or not the President of the United States, a month plus away from his convention, is going to be the nominee. And it's an important conversation within the party and for America. What's interesting is that vice president stumble in that moment came after what I thought was a particularly sharp moment for the president.
Reuters is reporting tonight that UAW leadership is concerned about your ability to win.
UAW just endorsed me, but go ahead.
Thank you.
Okay, well, they endorsed me, but no, go ahead with your question. That was a good moment. He had the golf quip on President Trump.
accusing the former president of filling out his golf score before
he
starts
playing. What's he doing? He's out there playing golf, filling his golf cart. You know, I'm here running the country. I've got the NATO summit. Another strong moment, I thought, for the president. Here he is talking about what NATO leaders are saying to him.
I'm not having any of my European allies come up to me and say, Joe, don't run. What I hear them say is, you've got to win. You can't let this guy come forward. It'd be a disaster.
So I would suggest, E, were this news conference not his first of its nature in 8 months, not following the debate performance, not while members of his own party are openly questioning whether this is the guy, does he have fitness to continue winning or running to possibly win and to continue governing, it's otherwise kind of run-of-the-mill news conference.
Sure, yeah.
But since it's under that microscope, it takes on...
Of course. And they set it up that way. I mean, they even moved it back, so it ended up becoming almost a primetime event. I mean, the networks all jumped on it.
Yeah, it was supposed to be 5:30 our time. I don't know what time they actually started, but I was tuned in, ready to go, and had something to do at 6 o'clock, and it still hadn't started. So I had to go back and watch it in retrospect, if you will. ABC's Mary Alice Parks in Washington, she said Democrats that she talked with after that event thought it still needed to be better.
Many Democrats are telling me it was just not enough, that fair or unfair, the expectation, the need from him today was to be pitch perfect. And right off the bat, we saw him stumble. There were moments where he did seem to still sort of trail off, and other Democrats telling me they just didn't think it was enough to calm the fears from constituents and from voters that they have been hearing.
So what does the party do? If there's still we heard that Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama have had conversations like, hey, what are we going to do with this? You know, there might have to be a change. Like, they're talking. Yeah. So leadership is talking.
I think the White House continues to do what it's continuing to do. You've got the president campaigning in Michigan today.
Yeah.
And then he's supposed to have a one-on-one with NBC's Lester Holt, anchor of Nightly News.
So
that is set to air Monday.
Do you take a step back then next week, as is usually the case?
Right. Kind of go quiet for a while, let the Republicans do their thing.
Or do you do the opposite?
Do you ramp up?
And make a big push or make a big wave, you know, make a big splash and steal some of the headlines?
Maybe you take a break. Maybe you let it settle. The big news story, no one's going to accuse you of taking a break or not having them out because everybody's focused on what the Republicans are doing.
I mean, Trump has been putting his feet up because he doesn't have to do anything right now with everything going on.
It's interesting how quiet that's been, right?
But which is a great strategy, actually.
And they'll have their day and their week here in Milwaukee starting. Looks like events really get underway Sunday night and then officially the convention underway Monday morning. Again, the president today in Michigan and then that one-on-one with NBC set to air Monday. 8:32 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Day 41 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Things actually finally get started here. You're talking about, feels like for 5, 6, 7 years, we've been talking about the convention. There was, of course, what was to be the big convention, the DNC in Milwaukee in 2020, largely canceled due to COVID. But there was the 2-year run-up to that event. And then right away, when that didn't fully materialize, we started talking about, well, we already did all this planning.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't the Democrats just commit to Milwaukee in 2024? Or what about the Republicans? Could we get that? So, like, I feel like we've been talking about the convention for 4, 6 years.
And now it's finally here.
So in terms of events that are actually going to start to happen, Sunday's really the big day.
I swear God made you for me. You make it easy.
Country star Jason Aldean's going to headline the concert for delegates and ticketed guests on the Summerfest grounds. That's Sunday night. It's also why the Hone Bridge is going to be closed for security reasons Sunday and into Monday. We don't know how long Monday, but it won't be closed for the whole RNC. Host committee, of course, they've taken to great lengths to say, look, we're nonpartisan. We are just the people here who are focused not on the politics of the convention, but on making sure that every last one of these 50,000 visitors to our state this coming week leaves with a positive image of Milwaukee and Wisconsin.
And every last dime is squeezed out of their wallet.
Their first big shot at doing that is going to be Sunday at Meyer Festival Park.
It really is the first impression that people are going to have. So it's a big task.
That is local event planner David Caruso of Dynamic Events. He was a guest on Spanning the State here on WTMJ. He is basically, I believe his title was creative director for the big party.
That'd be fun.
Red, White, and Brew. So they really started putting it together after Memorial Day, like figuring out what they wanted it to be. It's okay. A 6 p.m. Sunday event. Again, it's not open to the public. You have to have a ticket, largely for delegates and then other important people. But he said, Caruso did, that this is not going to be like Summerfest light. You're not going to have all the same stuff with Summerfest, just with some bunting. Like that they really were strategic about how to transform the Summerfest grounds.
We've taken different areas of the festival grounds and created what we're calling zones. So there's a supper club. Ooh. There is, there's a sports bar. There is a cork and curd, like a Wisconsin winery.
Yeah.
There are these different kinds of zones within the festival park that from north to south, they're going to experience something different for food and beverage, entertainment, look and feel. It's really, really special.
So by Sunday, if not before, you're going to have these delegations starting to check into their hotels. And that's not just Milwaukee. Right? They're staying all over southeast Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you'll see stories and actually bump into delegates in other counties because there are delegates staying all over the place.
So we all have a job to do as we approach this week. We do. I take
it
seriously.
Hey, how you doing, everybody? Hey.
Be that guy.
Hey.
I love being that guy.
You know what's great about
Wisconsin? Somebody from out. Hey, where are you from? How are you getting everything you need? What can I help you
with?
Want
me to play jump around on my phone for you? Hey.
We'd love to. Be that guy. We all have a job to do this week. And hopefully, regardless of your politics, we can make sure that everybody in town leaves with a positive image of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. 8:45 on Wisconsin's Morning News. 8:49 on Wisconsin's Morning News every week. We have great ideas for the show. Many of them make them into the program. Some of them don't quite make it. So we talk with Greg Pancake Hill, our producer, and ask Pancake to whip up a little something with the leftovers in a special we call the Pancake Breakfast Special.
What about breakfast?
We've already had it.
We've had one, yes. What about second breakfast?
Before we consume America politics through a fire hose next week, let's head to Canada, shall we?
What are they doing up there?
There's a string of crime in Canada that deserves our attention. But before we get into that, I have a quick qualifying question to ask. Do you or anyone you know have garden gnomes in their yard?
No.
No gnomes.
No? Really? You don't not know in the anybody?
Yard, not in the yard. We have a Mickey Mouse garden gnome, but it's like kind of in a corner in our
a singular garden gnome?
But yes. It's not in the yard.
It's
in
the corner. So is it a garden gnome?
You got gnomes,
then?
Deb.
It's arguably weirder, but sure, we'll go with that. Anyway, I know someone who has a garden gnome, and I actually inherited a garden gnome when I moved into my house. You know what kind of condition that garden gnome is in?
I shudder to think.
It's not great. Nope. Beard is discolored. Hair is like, it's like clipped, is falling off. There's no eyes. So it needs a little TLC. But I think that there is at least someone in your life that at least has a garden gnome. If not, you got Debbie Lazio and myself. So we now head to Kelowna, BC. That's British Columbia on the west side of Canada. I don't know much, but preliminary research shows that pictures of this town looks gorgeous. It's right on the lake.
Dude, I've been to Kelowna.
No way.
My wife's got family just outside of Kelowna in Peachland.
Dude, it looks amazing.
It's a lovely city.
It's like out there in, it's like, yeah, it's on a lake. There's mountain ranges everywhere.
It's beautiful.
Okay, didn't know that. That's bonus content. I'm glad we have a Kelowna connection. And now we have another one, because in the town of Kelowna lives a man by the name of Kelly Blair. Well, Kelly kept having things stolen off of his property. And it wasn't just anything. It was his prized possession, his lawn gnomes.
It was just so out of the blue, so to speak, right? I've had these gnomes 10 years. Just sitting in the yard. I get out there and I see there's only one. All the others are gone.
Yeah, so that video is from Canada Broadcasting Channel, the CBC. And if you can picture the interview of the guy, normal guy, baseball cap and wearing what looks like a jersey, it's red. And what does it say on the front? It says Canada. So anyway, that's who we're dealing with here. His reaction to his stolen gnomes, of course, the most Canadian reaction there is.
Oh, well, these things happen.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you know.
Not too beaten up about it.
Of course not.
But we continue. This incident did happen in June, but on July 3rd, it was a knock at Kelly's door that made him pretty intrigued.
There's a quiet knock on my back door. I open the door, and there's this nice older lady standing there with an envelope in her hand.
Yeah, because pretty normal in Canada, he continues.
She hands me the envelope. I ripped it open. It's a gnome, just a hand-drawn cartoon style. And on the back, handwritten, is the Gnome Restoration Society. That's it.
That's it. So this mysterious woman shows up at the door, won't answer any of his questions he had. Instead, she leads him to her car, and in the trunk of her car, what does she have?
She pops the trunk of her little sedan, and there's this trunk full of gnomes, all beautifully and brightly colored.
Yes, done. Those were his gnomes. Someone found his gnomes, they stole them off his property, and they were in such bad shape that he got them all back, and they were in fantastic restoration shape. They were all painted, they were all ready, and he continues.
She pops the trunk of her little sedan, and there's this trunk full of gnomes.
But still, it's good to hear again. The gnomes were back. And what he details, what I meant to play was, he talks about, like, this wasn't just someone who came and, like, their kids, like, painted it. These are, like, detailed paintings and full restorations of his gnomes. So after he loses 10 gnomes, he gets them all back weeks later, and they're all dressed up. Something that maybe someone you know could use. Ooh. A service of the Gnome Restoration Society, who, seriously, they steal gnomes and restore them. They have a level of security that rivals the Secret Service, because no one knows who these people are. That's probably this old woman with the car I would mention, but no one's ruled her out. But she is an advocate for the Gnome Restoration Society. And now we know that in Canada, everyone's gnomes, if they are stolen, they will return to you safely.
They're actual gnomes that go around stealing gnomes.
Because what's more Canada than that?
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
WTMJ forecast sponsored by Dave Drake Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. Nice one today with a high of 83 degrees. Then we turn up the heat for the weekend. High 87 on Saturday with a chance of thunderstorms late. Sunday, chance of thunderstorms late. And a high of 93. They say the heat index pushing 100.
Ooh, here we go.
Is what they say. Hey, man, that Euchre stuff you brought today was really pretty.
Yeah.
Pretty moving.
Right, amazing piece of broadcasting from Mr. Baseball. So we played audio from him the first time he came back from Big Blue collapsing. So Big Blue collapsed 25 years ago on Sunday. It happened during the All-Star break. The first game back for the Brewers at County Stadium was 2 days later. They played the Royals. And the first inning, the bottom half of the first inning, Euchre, for 13 minutes straight, essentially, just kind of downloads therapeutically about what he's seen and how devastated he was about what happened with Big Blue coming down and the loss of those three iron workers. And we have it. We posted it. So if you want to hear it, just text the word crane to 855-616-1620. We'll send you all the information we got. We got a video of the crane coming down. We got a link to what they're doing on Sunday to honor those three iron workers. And we got more on Euchre. Just therapeutic. It's a therapeutic moment talking about what happened, that tragedy, 25 years ago. You can listen to it all. Just text the word crane.
And we talk to you live next from UWM Panther Arena Monday in the heart of the Republican National Convention. WTMJ's Political Power Hour with Steve Scafidi up next.